prior to our observing the supper, I want Carl Fuqua, and I've invited him appropriately to share his testimony this morning as one forgiven. Carl, you come forward as we do. And as we, after Carl's testimony, as we observe the Lord's Supper, if you do not know for certain Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, would you let your conscience guide you as to whether you participate? If there's something wrong in your life, that things are not right, would you let God's Holy Spirit guide you whether you observe the supper? But our theme this morning is one forgiven. Carl? Matter of fact, let me pray with you. Come on up. Father, I just lift Carl to you. You give him a holy boldness, the power of recall and thought, the spirit of calmness. As Father, he just simply shares the testimony of his journey and how you have done a transforming work in his life. Father, get the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Glad to be here this morning. We put guards at the doors, and they're blocked off because I sell life insurance. And soon there'll be brochures distributed amongst you, and until you sign up, you can't leave. But actually, that transitions into something that I wanted to share with you this morning is I like selling. I like helping people. And sometimes when we try to help people with life insurance, they have an impairment, we like to call it. And that gives them a rating, which means they can't get the preferred or the standard rate. They have to charge a little extra. It usually costs a little extra. And my favorite thing is it's trying to place a rated policy is very difficult because you're asking for more money. You're basically not bearing good news. But there's a way to do that in such a way that actually comes across as a positive experience. And you say, if I was sitting at your kitchen table with you and I was selling fire insurance and there was some smoke coming out of the other room and I had the policy right here, it might cost a little extra. Would you want it? Would you take it? The answer is usually, well, yeah. And then I say, well, glad you feel that way because when the medicals came back, there's a little bit of an impairment here. And, well, they've made an offer. And if you sign, you can take it. Usually they take it. Well, today, if I told you there was another thing I could sell you, it's free. It'll grant you eternal life. And the premium has been paid in full. We're not going to ask for any money. There's no signature required. Just faith and believing. And that transitions into what my testimony is about today. And there's really two people I'm talking to in here today when I share my testimony. And that's the people who are saved, believe they're saved, and what they should be doing. And the people who aren't saved, and they're hopeless. And there is a way to have hope. And there's two verses. One's out of Psalms 32:1. It says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That's the forgiven. And if you are forgiven, then James 2:17 goes on to tell us, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished or accompanied by actions, is dead. I like to use that example of it's kind of like taking Michael Jordan and putting him in a pair of Keds and say, go play. He's going to slide all over the place. There's a lot of potential there, but nothing's happening. It's not good. My story goes back. It concerns a guy by the name of Jack, and This young guy knew by the name of Jack was a lot like a young DiCaprio, sharp fella. I knew him a long time ago. I was saved. I wasn't walking. And that's Satan's big avenue. He'll tell you, don't share your faith. How can you share your faith? You're not walking, you know. That's the big lie. No one here is 100% walking all the time, 24/7. Satan will get you with that. He'll use it against you. So I knew Jack. I liked Jack. He was a great kid. Never shared my faith with him. Never shared it with him. Thought, you know, sure, if I say, Jack, you're a great guy. The only thing you're missing is Christ in your life, being saved. You need to give this a chance. He'd look at me and say, dude, you're talking it. You ain't walking it. Get out of here. I'd probably do more damage than good. So I kept my mouth shut. I moved down to Tampa with my wife and my job and called back to Tallahassee to check on Jack and just follow up with him. He worked at a computer store. I'm a computer techie, love to play games and all that. Got a hold of the place where he worked, said, how's Jack doing? There was an awkward pause on the phone. Carl, you haven't heard? No, what's going on? Jack's dead. I felt sick. If you've ever had that kind of news, it just gives you nausea. I had it. I felt horrible. I was shocked at first. And I said, well, what happened? How? He was healthy. He was a sharp young fellow. He had the whole world ahead of him. He had gotten a ride with a friend he just met. He'd gotten into a highway where there's that center turn lane right here in Tallahassee. And some people came behind him, struck the car they were in, and pushed him into oncoming traffic. He was on the passenger side and got hit and was killed instantly. It says in the Bible, everyone will have a chance to know Christ. Everyone. I'm sure he had other opportunities besides me. I blew it. I don't like that. It sat with me hard. Now we jump ahead a little bit. What do you do about that if you have faith but no deeds? I ended up coming back to Tallahassee. I came down with a rare neurological condition. It's called tic de la rue. It's French. I think it means something like tick of immense pain or something like that. And it is. And it's the scientific name for it is trigeminal neuralgia. And God built our bodies great, but you have these nerves back here and they all wind together. They're the size of threads coming out of your brainstem. They're called the trigeminal nerve series. There's a lot of them. Very delicate. But like a wire, there's not supposed to be any interference with it. If something touches it or compresses it or does anything to it wrong, it doesn't give the normal feedback of a touch. Instead, the brain misinterprets it and sends back an error message. Except unlike a computer like Windows, it puts fatal error, it puts back a message of excruciating, shocking pain because it's the only way, I guess, it knows how to interpret that. The best way to describe it is if I took an ice pick, excuse the illustration, and chipped open one of your back molars, exposed the root, which is not comfortable if anyone's had that. If you haven't, you don't want it. And then took an electric wire and attached it to it, told you to bite down, which would hurt really bad, and then cut the voltage on. It's euphoric. It's just the kind of pain you can't move. You can't even cry. You have trouble breathing. Story starts, I was eating a Cape Cod salt and vinegar chip. To this day, there's still issues with them. Love them, but I still have a problem eating them. And I felt a peculiar feeling, and I thought, oh, man, some dental work. Oh, well. Well, I would have only been so lucky. It progressed. It got to the point where I would say a word and purse my lips to speak, and a violent electrical shock would go through my back molars and just literally freeze me. At first, it was curious. It was like, what shocked me? You know, you're looking around, something's shocking me. And then it got worse and worse. And then it's agony because it's consistent and it's random shocking. It's not just something that you can always predict. You might say a certain word and get shocked. And touching your face became taboo. Any kind of nerve stimulus on your lips or your face. Shaving had to become a ritual where I'd only shave in one direction and could only brush in one direction because anything could trigger an episode that would cause pain. There's hope. I went to the doctor, and when he diagnosed me, he told me, you have trigeminal neuralgia. He says, and I, you know, I'm still young enough at that point. I'm thinking, you know, I can outlive anything. I don't need any help with this. And he got my attention by saying, people commit suicide from this condition. You need to take it seriously. There was two options, medication and surgery. Medication ended up with a weekly pill minder. You've seen them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Some people use it for their week. I used it for my day. I kept a log because I couldn't remember anything. I took 36 pills a day of Neurontin. Everyone knows about that. I think they prescribe it for everything. 3,000 milligrams a day, which most people take 300. Carbamatrazine, which is for seizures, which I didn't have them, but it all deadened the pain. The result was I gained weight, lost my memory, and didn't care about anything. So, you know, does it help with the pain? Yeah, you can't remember it either, you know. So, but unfortunately, there was times when it would go past the threshold of medication and I would be in agony. One memorable experience. I'll never forget it. Sitting at the coffee table, came home for lunch. Pam had made bagel bite pizzas. Good, right? No, bad. They have those little pepperonis on them or whatever they are. They're scattered around it. Took a bite. One of them worked its way over to the right side of my face. It's not allowed. You can't do that. Not with that condition. It started an episode of building, surging, just agony, and it kept building and building to a climax of intense pain. I remember I flipped over the coffee table. I was drooling. I was in such pain. I could not speak. Pam was crying. She didn't know what was wrong. I saw the wall. I thought if I could run into the wall hard enough, I could knock myself out. I went to the kitchen. There was a butcher knife. I seriously considered taking the butcher knife and stabbing my hand. Anything to stop that pain, because it was agonizing. And I'm a worrier, so to make matters worse, I went on the internet and looked up trigeminal neuralgia. First thing it said is, universally agreed by most physicians to be the most painful thing a human being can endure. Just what you need to hear on the internet. Stay away from it. So, you know, I'm just keep praying that God's going to wake up and this is going to be gone. I've got a young child. I've got a wife. I don't need this. This is something you see Stone Phillips talking about in 2020, some rare condition 1,500 people get a year. It didn't go away. I had no life. Finally, my wife said, you know, pray for God to heal you with surgery. Surgery was intense. They shaved the back of your head. You go to Shands. They cut an incision in your scalp 4.5 inches long. They drill a hole in your skull the size of a silver dollar. They remove it. Then two surgeons, not one, lift your brain under a microscope, both looking through it, and go in there and debundle your trigeminal nerves that are the size of threads. A little risky. And then they put a Teflon cushion on it to protect it from the rest of the nerves, so they kind of like insulate that wire that's gotten compressed. Surgeon was a great guy. Told me, he says, look, you need to know straight out, though, if you get in there and you have a blood clot, you die. It's just that simple. There's no hope if you have a blood clot in your brain. Plus, the optical nerve is right next to that one. I could be blind on the right side or paralyzed. There's a lot of weird stuff. I prayed. I got a peace about it. I went. I had the procedure. But before that, something weighed heavy on my heart. Jack. And that goes in that category of unsaved people. And it also applies to me because I had the faith without deeds. And I said, you know, there's no way I'm going into this surgery and not going to share my faith. What have I got to lose? So I had a personal trainer. I'd gotten in shape for the surgery. Spiritually, I was as strong as I'd ever been. I had some friends at the mall that were not saved at the good old computer store. I went in there the day before and I said, you know, I'm going in there. I'm just going to tell them what's about to happen to me and tell them why I'm cool with it, why I'm not stressed about it and worried. And that's going to be my witness to them. And I said, you know, normally I'd never do that. It's pretty bold, but, you know, I may not be here next week. So I went in there and I shared my faith. And they were in awe. They said, dude, how are you so calm with what you're about to face? I said, because spiritually I'm ready. I said, and this is why. And I told them why. I said, I'm saved. I said, you know, my wife's taken care of on the material side. I said, I have insurance, obviously. I said, but, you know, spiritually, I've got protection too. I accepted that policy. So it's been paid. I'm covered. My sins are covered. My transgressions are covered. I'm done. And they saw that peace. You can't fake that peace. Well, after the surgery and after that, God kept working on me. He said, you know, Carl, you can't stop there. You can't stop. Every day is a gift. You've got to do something more than that. And I game a lot, and I wanted to think of a way. WWJD was good, but I wanted to think of a way that I could say, I'm forgiven, but not put it in someone's face, but just say, I am one who is forgiven. So 5 years ago, I thought of, you know, well, I wonder if someone would actually wear a wristlet that said, one forgiven, kind of like a symbol like to other Christians saying, you know, hey, you're a Christian. They'd catch it. And someone not forgiven may say, what does that mean? And that's the whole point of it. So about 5 years ago, I started doing this. And I was amazed when people bought them, put them on eBay and people bought them, bookstores bought them. And very humbling. It's not about me. It's about being forgiven. And I've had the opportunity of Charlie Ward wears one, or did. I had a picture in a magazine with him wearing it, signed an autograph. Trent Dilfer was a friend of mine in Tampa. He wore it and came back to Chris Ricks, who probably needed a little bit of forgiveness at some point. There was a great message where he was in the paper holding up his arm like this, and it said messages from home, and he wrote, love, Mom, and above it was a one forgiven wristlet. So, you know, it really is an inspiration to see that. But it really comes down to this, and I want to leave you with these thoughts, is there's two groups of people in here, like I said ahead of time. There's the people who are saved and may not be showing their faith, and faith without deeds is dead, and that's where this comes in, and what will you do to share it? And then there's those that have no faith. They're hopeless, but there's an opportunity to have it. As an inspiration for me to this, Are You Forgiven? All the stuff came together. 5 years ago, I applied for the trademark for One Forgiven, and applying for a trademark is a really hard thing to do. I found out it's expensive, it's not cheap, and also you don't always get granted it. And when I came back Thursday, I told the pastor I was nervous about this. I'm pretty cool about it now, though. So, but I came back, and Thursday I saw on the desk at my home an envelope from the government. And I'm thinking, what is this? Oh, no, the tax guy. This is coming down on me. But I opened it up, and it was the U.S. government seal granting me the One Forgiven registered trademark. It took 5 years. So I've sold them to churches and stuff, and the blessing is it's totally a ministry. Anything that it makes goes back to give them away. And one thing I've done today is I've made them available through the pastor at the door and to anyone that want one. You don't have to wear it. You put it on your keychain. You just put it in your pocket. Put it somewhere where you see it. Put it somewhere someone else will see it. That's really what it's about. But I want to leave you this one question. And it applies to everyone if you're Jack and you leave here and you head on that highway. And it applies to you if you are saved. If you knew you might die tomorrow, would you do anything different today? And if so, what are you waiting for? Thank you.
Thank you, Father. The amazing thing about life, we are all created and designed for eternity, designed and created by God and for God. In life, it doesn't matter whether you are mega rich or extremely poor. It doesn't matter whether you are well-educated or ill-educated. What matters most, and the only thing that matters, is that you know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. This supper this morning is an opportunity for us who are ones forgiven.